Omaha Public Radio presents a special program on Noon Forum. Continuing our Memorial Day tradition, we'll hear highlights from the 7th Annual At Ease USA Luncheon, presented by At Ease USA, an organization formed to address the impact of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, on war veterans and their families who have so bravely served our country by providing access to confidential trauma treatment. Today's keynote address will be presented by Chris Linford, recently retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces, following a distinguished 33-year career, and author of Warrior Rising, A Soldier's Journey to PTSD and Back. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, May 16, 2016, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of At Ease USA, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is our Master of Ceremonies, Rob McCartney, anchorman and news reporter for KETV Channel 7.
And welcome to the 7th Annual At Ease Luncheon, everyone. I'm Rob McCartney. I work over at KETV News Watch 7. I'd like to ask all active military, veterans, and their families to stand, please. Active military, veterans, and families. Cannot say thank you for your service enough. As an Air Force brat, I know what it means, and we all know what it means, and I appreciate it. Thank you. As you are wrapping up your meal, I just want to tell you, give you a heads up. There's a friend of mine. His name is Jason Messerschmidt. He is with the Omaha Police Department. Some of you all may know him. He flies Able 1, the police helicopter. He is also a vet, and he is in the middle of something right now, which is I find very intriguing. He's on day 15, I believe it is, 14. Of a 22-day challenge. Y'all remember the bucket challenge for ALS? Right. He's doing day 22, and this is a challenge to have someone do 22 sit-ups every day for 22 days, and 22 is a magical number because that is how many American veterans will commit suicide every day. Jason's a vet, and he's trying to get this message out and trying to spread it as far as he can. You can see him on Facebook, and he does it, and the guy's built like a brick house, so it's 22 for him. It's not even breaking a sweat. It's not even getting his heart rate up. But what was really neat, this weekend, he posted a little video of his young daughter also doing 22 push-ups, and that's kind of his message. I want to spread it to the kids. Spread it beyond just the military, and that's kind of what we're doing here today. It struck me. We're trying to get that message out, and Chris, you were talking about that, trying to continue the message so everybody learns about it. In 2007, a group of Omahans saw a need to assist Nebraska veterans, active military, and their families who were suffering from post-traumatic stress and related disorders. They formed this organization called At Ease USA with five basic goals: to treat every member of the military family, not just the combatant, to remove the obstacles of stigma and costs which prevent those in need from getting treatment, to ensure 100% confidentiality for all clients, to use only treatments and therapies proven most effective by research, and finally, to provide the best possible value for every dollar donated. Along those lines, I would like Josh Weiss, president of At Ease USA, to come up to the podium, share USA successes with you. Josh?
Thank you, Rob, for your support of our military and certainly your participation in today's luncheon. There are over 143,000 veterans living in Nebraska. On average, five active duty troops attempt suicide each day. You know, that goes right in line with the stat that Rob just talked about with our veterans. At Ease USA was created to provide access to confidential therapeutic treatment and support for active military, veterans, their families, and their loved ones, regardless of their ability to pay. Our primary goal is to remove the obstacles that prevent military families from receiving quality treatment. As Rob mentioned, At Ease USA has seen a great deal of success and activity in the past 18 months. Eddie's continues to fund clinics in Bellevue, Grand Island, North Platte, and provide services in Lincoln. However, not every veteran is able or willing to travel maybe an hour or more to visit somebody in one of these clinics. To remove this obstacle, Eddie's USA is working to build our statewide provider network to which we can refer military families. The first step in building this network is to identify qualified therapists. Toward that end, Eddie's USA funded eye movement desensitization and reprocessing treatment for 27 therapists between Scotts Bluff and Omaha. We are also exploring dialectical behavioral therapy training for those therapists statewide as well. For female military veterans that develop PTSD, approximately 71% of those cases is due to sexual assault within the ranks. To assist this population, Eddie's USA began funding a program, Healing Warriors, in January of this year. This program is housed at the Women's Center for Advancement and will assist victims of domestic violence and sexual assault with safety planning, individualized case management, pro bono legal services, peer support groups, and self-sufficiency. I'm also very excited to update you on the clinical and neuroscience research trials funded by Eddie's USA and led by Dr. Amy Badura Brock of Creighton University. The clinical trials have been a great success. Dr. Badura Brock's work has been published in two national journals, the American Journal of Psychiatry and Cognition and Emotion, as well as several smaller journals. Our next step will be to develop software to demonstrate its utility in a web-based delivery format and extend its scope to include treatment resistant veterans, women, and people suffering from trauma caused by community-related violence. Work has already begun to fund the next phase of these trials. We are excited by the findings and the possible treatments that could be offered in the future for people suffering from PTSD, both veterans and civilians alike. Dr. Badura Brock is here today. If she would please stand and be recognized for her outstanding work. Our goal remains steadfast, to reduce symptoms of PTSD altogether. With your help, Addies USA is reaching an ever-increasing number of military families. On behalf of the heroic Nebraskans who put their lives and themselves, their lives, and their loved ones in harm's way every day, thank you very much for all of your support. I would now like to introduce Katie Weitz, our 2016 honorary chair. Katie received her bachelor's degree from Carleton College in political science and her master's degree in education from DePaul University while teaching full-time. Later, she obtained a second master's degree from Northwestern University in the School of Education and Social Policy. In 2011, Katie received a doctorate degree from Northwestern University in Human Development and Social Policy, writing her dissertation on participation and civic engagement among urban adolescents. In 2006, Katie moved back to Omaha to work with the Sherwood Foundation, a charitable organization focused on improving child and family welfare throughout Omaha. Katie now serves as the executive director of the Weitz Family Foundation, a social organization that supports capacity building and leadership development within Omaha's nonprofits. Katie's personal passions and philanthropy lie in working with advocacy organizations and civic engagement. Locally, Katie serves on the board of directors for the Omaha Community Foundation, College Possible, D2 Center, and the College of Public Health. Nationally, she serves on the board of the United States Artists and DePaul University's College of Education's Dean's Advisory Council. Katie has provided years of support for Addies USA. As a continuation of that support, Katie graciously agreed to serve as today's honorary chair. I invite Katie Weitz to the podium to make a special presentation.
Thank you, Josh. And thank all of you for being here today to support this critically important organization and cause. It's a privilege to serve as the honorary chair of today's luncheon. My family and I have been supportive of At Ease USA since its inception, and I've had the privilege of seeing it grow and develop. I'm very pleased, as we all should be, to play a small role in the recovery of Nebraska's military families from the terror of PTSD. It is now my honor to present the 2016 Founders Award to an outstanding partner of At Ease USA. Creighton University has made enormous contributions, not only to At Ease USA and the welfare of Nebraska's military families, but to the very fabric of our community. As Josh mentioned, At Ease USA has worked with Creighton University and Tel Aviv University to launch the first ever clinical trials related to combat PTSD in the United States. The results of this incredibly successful initial trials have gained national attention and has been published in two highly regarded journals, the American Journal of Psychiatry and Emotion and Cognition. Because of this success, At Ease USA is funding the development of a web-deliverable version of this software that will serve as the basis for the next phase of clinical trials in combat and civilian-related PTSD. I'm particularly excited about this next phase of clinical trials, as Creighton will be pursuing a study of community violence-related PTSD. It'll include a sample of North Omaha children who have been traumatized by community violence. Creighton will partner with the University of Nebraska Medical Center, who's currently conducting a study of normally developing children in Omaha who have not experienced this kind of trauma. At Ease USA's mission has always been focused on military families, but we are hopeful that this software will also assist those living in high crime and high poverty areas. On behalf of the At Ease USA Board of Directors and Advisors, I am honored to present Creighton University with the 2016 Founding Award. Dr. Bo Dunlay will be receiving the award on behalf of Creighton University. Dr. Dunlay, would you please join me on stage?
Well, thank you. On behalf of Creighton University, we're very grateful. I would also tell you that we accept this award with a sense of humility because we're aware of the sacrifices that our service members and veterans and their families make. And there's a lot of work to be done to help them meet the challenges that they face. I'd also say to all of you in the room that they're in the military and the veterans, your service and your commitment ennoble all Americans. Thank you.
Our featured speaker today recently retired from the Canadian Armed Forces following a 25-year distinguished career. Chris Linford was originally diagnosed in 2004 with PTSD, 10 years after serving an operational tour in Rwanda. He underwent therapy and was put on medication while receiving treatment with the Canadian Forces. After a year and a half, he thought he had beaten it. He was able to continue his military career and eventually go on to command medical units, as well as deploy again to Kandahar, to be executive officer of the NATO Role 3 Combat Surgical Hospital. While deployed in Afghanistan, his PTSD returned. Chris hid it from his fellow military members because he wanted to finish his tour of duty. Upon his return home, his wife Catherine, who herself had received help for her exposure to Chris's PTSD, was heavily involved in helping him through his treatment. PTSD is an ongoing battle for Chris, and although it's still triggered at times, he is now able to manage the stress and anxiousness when it hits. Chris acknowledges that PTSD can take a fearful toll, with many veterans losing their families and some committing suicide. He is grateful his wife and children stuck by him as he struggled. Chris wrote his first book, Warrior Rising, a soldier's Journey to PTSD and Back, in 2013. The book recounts his road to a diagnosis of PTSD after his deployments to the Gulf War, Rwanda, and Kandahar, Afghanistan. In 2014, Chris became a national ambassador for Wounded Warriors Canada. It is my privilege now to introduce Chris Linford.
There's a lot of people in here. Addie's USA, honored guests, military veterans and personnel currently serving and retired, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you greetings from the Great White North. It is a distinct pleasure and honor to be addressing you here today. It marks my first occasion south of the border speaking about this issue. I wish to thank Addie's USA for searching me out on the far west coast of Canada to come out and share with you the journey with PTSD I have lived for the past 22 years. I can tell you it has been arduous and full of stops and goes, and I stand before you today a healthy man with PTSD. Today I will speak of that experience and how I got there from a family perspective, and as a family, we have fought it and survived and indeed thrived. My wife Catherine and I have been very busy over the past couple of years since the launch of my book, Warrior Rising, A Soldier's Journey to PTSD and Back. It was nothing short of astounding the level of interest we experienced when speaking with families as well as the military chain of command across Canada. We as a community are finally getting it and starting to have the conversations we need to enable others to step forward and ask for help without fear of judgment and the associated shame that often accompanies this injury. This conversation must be completed at the highest levels to cement the understanding and start the destigmatization. The physical cost of fighting wars is well understood, as we have all seen those who have returned with the physical injuries. There are also the invisible injuries that are less understood but no less devastating in their impact. We all know it as PTSD. To look at me, you would not know that I have PTSD. I have had it for over 22 years, since my return from Rwanda in 1994 on the heels of the genocide. I had already deployed to the Gulf War in 91 by that time and witnessed my first war traumas in the form of literally what was left of the Iraqi military. I was a trauma nurse then, so I experienced traumas through a very different lens than most would. The Gulf inspired me to know that I was actually doing the right job for me. I felt in my element working and was finally getting that experience I had only read about from the time I was a young boy, but never thought would happen for me. And Rwanda came just 3 years later in the form of a Canadian humanitarian mission to treat cholera on the border near Goma, Zaire, now Congo. We didn't know it then, but almost 1 million Rwandan people had been exterminated. We were supposed to deploy to a very permissive environment, but when we got there, I can tell you we found it to be anything but. Each day, our small group discovered evidence of mass murder and carnage. It just didn't compute for me that anyone would purposefully slaughter innocent people, especially children. I struggled to sustain my concentration, during this mission. Once we set up our medical unit, the word passed quickly. We treated over 26,000 casualties in 100 days. It just simply proved to us that in East Central Africa, if you build it, they will come. I will share with you that the carnage overwhelmed me. Despite my background and training, I was used to dealing with severe injuries and death, but the casualties just kept coming. We never had a chance to decompress or try to process what was happening. It got to the point where I felt where I was actually watching all this from a place well outside my own body. I was dissociating from myself. I felt I no longer knew who I was, and I felt my soul as a human being leave me. I had witnessed the very worst of what man will do to man, woman, and child, and I had walked up to the very edge of my personal and professional competence. The cost paid has been very high for me, but not just for me. Many of my fellow soldiers also sustained a PTSD diagnosis. Some have taken their lives. The piece that made my Afghanistan deployment so different was the fact that we were actually receiving friendly troops, including Canadian, Americans, Brits, and Dutch. At that time, I had two young sons serving in the Canadian military. They were both in their 20s, and the young men and women that were coming through the trauma bay doors were the same ages as them. We couldn't save them all, despite the incredible work the forward medics did and the surgical staff. Those IEDs were a major destructive force to the human body. But before I get into the family aspect of this journey, let me mention a little bit about PTSD itself. You may know, but PTSD is an anxiety disorder and sometimes referred to as an injury of grief and shame. For me, it can be brought on by the types of things I am telling you about right now, and I will share with you that I am activated. Sights and smells of very innocent things will bring my anxiety on. This can lead to a behavior, for some, spanning from self-isolation to extreme violence. It used to consume my personal life and my personality, but not anymore. I'm now going to talk a little bit about the impact all this had upon my family. I admit to you today that I never realized that impact until I was about 18 years into my diagnosis. I had been receiving some of the best and state-of-the-art therapy from the Canadian Armed Forces Health Services. I was treated for a year in 2004 when I initially came forward, some 10 years after my deployment to Rwanda, and again after my tour in Afghanistan in 2010. At that time, there was little to no care offered for my family. There was some available, but I had no knowledge of it. I had been under the impression that my PTSD was just that, my PTSD. I was angry at everyone, about everything, all the time. I could hide this at work, but at home it was a different story. My uniform at work was like a shield, using my rank, my decorations, my status to protect me. I was no longer that man and officer raised to help others, especially those suffering. My attitude was camouflaged well at work, but it was especially destructive at home. Catherine and our three children faced my rage daily. I was incredibly dynamic with my mood, making it difficult for Catherine and my kids to predict, especially if stress levels were on the rise. Despite that, I was very involved with my kids' school activities and sports teams. Little did I know that my kids were terrified of me, or at least my attitude and my anger. They learned to say in their early young lives what they needed, and they walked on eggshells around me. as my wife Catherine ran interference to keep them protected from my outbursts. My kids used to keep their friends away from our house as they were fearful of what I might do or what I might say to embarrass them. Slowly but surely, my relationship deteriorated with each of them. As they each reached the age where they could make their own decisions to leave home, they each made it, and they left. We have made some headway with each other and PTSD. When I returned from Afghanistan in 2010, I was once again ravaged with the symptomology of PTSD. I was assigned another command billet in British Columbia, and I was feeling poorly with nightmares, anxiety, extreme hypervigilance, and I was full of shame and fear of judgment. I was a lieutenant colonel, and at that rank, it just wasn't talked about without great fear of losing one's career. I would eventually figure out that it is the coming forward and asking for help part that truly demonstrates the courage of leadership. Jennifer was 18 when we moved to Victoria at that time. She decided to stay behind in Edmonton. She and I had not seen eye to eye for several years, and I felt myself slipping each day when I was confronted with dealing with her. She told me that she hated me for moving us from our last posting, as she had made the best friends of her life there. My PTSD was ramped up, and my ability to listen and understand was absent. Moving to BC brought a sense of peace to our house again, at least in my mind. I was getting good care through my unit, but things were not going well between Catherine and me. We found ourselves, after 25 years of marriage, without children in the house to keep our focus. I was ill, once again, with PTSD and not talking much, and she was not sure if she wanted to even be around me. She felt lost, and she felt alone, and she was alone. I began to struggle with thoughts of suicide. I used to judge people who committed suicide harshly, thinking of it as a selfish, cowardly act. I will admit to you today that I had no idea what I was talking about. Suicidal thoughts popped into my head, causing increased discomfort and served to deepen my depression. At that point, despite the significant therapy I was enduring and the medication I was taking, suicidal thoughts and planning became a minute-by-minute struggle. I wondered and worried as to how I could continue in my job. I was experiencing some of the worst emotional pain ever. My chest was so heavy, I was profoundly sad, and I was completely unable to shake it. It was relentless, and it stuck to the inside of my rib cage like it was glue. I started to consider that suicide might be the reasonable option. I just wanted the pain to go away, and perhaps taking my life would be the answer. Many sleepless nights contemplating which way I should go, and in a last-ditch effort to save myself, I called my boss and I relinquished my command. I chose to live by prioritizing me for the first time ever, because I was scared. I had always lied to my therapist about suicidal thoughts, as I was embarrassed to state the truth and so worried about the potential negative judgment I might receive. I finally told her that indeed I had been struggling with suicidal thoughts. I braced myself in my chair for the judgment that I would surely get, but I can tell you that it never came. Dr. Diskin simply asked me to tell her more about these thoughts. And together we explored them, describing the feelings and plans surrounding them. In that moment, I felt the weight of these thoughts released from my shoulders, and I knew that I would never commit that act. Having this new understanding of the significant emotional strain of suicidal thoughts, I now understand, and I now work to convince others that suicide is very much a long-term solution to a very short-term problem. Talk about it with someone. Catherine was shocked when I told her, but together we worked on talking more openly about it. Our connection together improved. Sharing that pain helped make it more manageable, and this led to the premise of our COPE program, which I will tell you about in a minute. As part of my own healing journey, and shortly after this episode with suicidal planning, I started to write my book, Warrior Rising. And for 2 years, I readied my manuscript. Just prior to this, Catherine and I had received an invite to speak at a conference on mental health for military families in Canada. We had never worked together in this fashion, and we weren't necessarily getting along all that well. But we started to communicate better through the preparation of this presentation. And a really surprising thing happened. We sat down in front of the computer that first day and we asked ourselves, what are the most important aspects of living as a family with PTSD? The formulation of that presentation went surprisingly well. I was amazed at what she said was important for her. When we finally delivered that speech at the conference, an amazing thing happened. Catherine's voice was heard and for the first time validated as having been injured by PTSD. My PTSD was our PTSD. Very few spouses have ever spoken so publicly and with such honesty. I felt a pride and a love for Catherine at that moment that has sustained itself to this day. This experience has shaped how we would live together. We completed our cross-country speaking tour to promote Warrior Rising, where we listened to other families who were suffering. They came by the thousands to hear us because there was no one speaking out loud as we were. We have presented at over 60 locations now across Canada. So many military families were struggling and wanted to know what we did to make it work. Humbled by this, we really started to think about what we did and how we might share it with others. During this time, Jennifer had been attending university and was asked to write a short essay on something that had impacted her in her life. She chose to write about what it was like to grow up with a dad with PTSD. She shared this paper with us one evening. Now, I can tell you that this was not an easy paper for me to read. It taught me so much, but mostly how I had been wrong about the impact of my PTSD upon my children. And with Jen's permission, I will read you a portion of her paper. Jen wrote, "There are certain stories in our family. Some are happy, some are sad, some are life lessons, and some even change your life entirely. My dad was deployed to the first Gulf War, as well as Rwanda and Afghanistan. You couldn't imagine what doing 3 tours in war zones would do to someone. The stories he told us after he got back were what made me so proud of him. He was my hero. The unfortunate thing about these stories was that they hid the hideous truth about what really happened. Like many soldiers do, my dad suffered alone for 10 long years. His life began to unravel and he couldn't control it. Worst of all, he didn't know why. He decided at that point the best decision he could make was to get some professional help. That night he told us, my brothers and I were seated on our couch wondering what was about to happen. He told us he had been diagnosed with PTSD. He tried to explain as best he could, but I don't think I heard a single word he said. I only noticed the tears running down his face. I had never seen my dad cry before that day. He had always been so strong. He always kept those emotions hidden. All I knew was that my dad had PTSD. I had no idea it would affect my life so much. I love my dad, and he was my hero, but I was afraid of his illness. I was also afraid of him. I don't want to blame him, but I did not want to be around him. He was re-diagnosed with PTSD in 2010. How could I be so naive to think that that sort of thing would just go away? I was now interested in his disorder and wanted to be part of his healing. I wanted to help in any way that I could. My dad's PTSD will always be there, but for now, he is a success story of how he went to war with PTSD and won the battle for his mental health. Now, Catherine and I were fairly crushed at the reading of her paper, but we were also extremely proud. Her honesty and articulation of how she managed and how that evolved over time really impressed us. Her words cut through to my heart, as I would never have wanted to be feared by my children. Sadly, that is exactly what happened to us. My son Victor and I have struggled with connection all our lives. He is 31 now and has recently gone through a painful separation and divorce. Through that process, he finally reached out to me for guidance. And for the first time ever, we now enjoy a much more relaxed and easygoing time when we get together. We found a new way to be with each other that simply adopts the platform of support and kindness. He is a flight engineer, and we are so proud of him and his service to Canada. He has recognized that he has some issues he needs to discuss and has recently sought health care himself. Jeff deployed to Afghanistan working counter IED shortly after my tour, which was a nightmare for us as a family. When Jeff returned home, he went through a period where he was quite hypervigilant, noticing some dramatic personality changes. He called us one night to ask what we thought he should do. I advised that he check in with the medical folks the following day, which he did, and was seen for a few sessions until they both agreed that they were both satisfied that he was doing okay. We are so proud of Jeff for handling this issue in that fashion. He is part of what I think is the new and better educated Canadian military, where he just was not afraid to ask for help when he knew something was not quite right. He got advice and then sought care from a well-prepared medical system and support from his chain of command that got him back on track almost immediately, and he continued with his career. Leaving these issues to fester, like I did, is not the way to do it. Catherine has been my partner through all of this as we now approach our 30th wedding anniversary this August. I certainly gave her every reason to leave, but she never did, despite the resentment and uncertainty for us. She was firmly behind me as a strong military spouse, and I know for certain that I would not be standing here today without her guidance and support over the years. I wish to acknowledge all military spouses, partners, and families for their unwavering support given to their veteran spouses who proudly serve both of our nations. They deserve a huge round of applause. Catherine and I, as part of our own healing journey, now operate, with the help of a team of trauma psychologists from British Columbia, a program called COPE. Now, COPE is an acronym that stands for Couples Overcoming PTSD Every Day. It is a 5-day residential program that gathers 5 veteran couples or first responder couples struggling with PTSD at a resort in Canada. They work intensively under the direction of 2 trauma psychologists to get themselves on the same page regarding their PTSD. They learn new strategies to work together and form a team in the management of this injury rather than in isolation, which so many programs inadvertently cause. Catherine and I discovered that when she and I were doing well as a couple, we did better managing our PTSD as well. We had way more energy to even become well. Having a mutual understanding of the injury meant that together we could be stronger. You see, it's about team creation. It's about communication and understanding each other's needs and moving forward with respect, honesty, and a sense of vulnerability. We encourage the emergence of loving kindness into the home, which makes for a supportive and pleasant environment. These couples get to establish realistic and measurable goals for themselves as a couple and a family, and then they move to COPE Phase 2. This is a 6-month-long family coaching model where they learn some new skills, but essentially strive to achieve their goals as a couple guided by their family coach. The coach keeps their feet to the fire by contacting them once a week, 3 times a month, for 6 months, by phone or Skype. This follow-up reminds the couple to stick to the new strategies, thus preventing them from slipping back into old behaviors. We have now executed 7 COPE programs, the last one finishing just this past Friday near Ottawa. We've done this over the last 1.5 years, and we could not be more pleased with the progress we are demonstrating in the form of improved relationships for all 35 couples thus far. Currently, the Canadian military is looking at contracting my program to be included into their toolbox of resources so their case managers and clinicians might refer clients to us. Now, I have touched upon some very personal aspects of my family journey with PTSD today, and I want you all to know I have but one regret. I wish that I had asked for help much sooner. I know that my PTSD was shared across my family, and I consider it to be our PTSD, and they deserve the care as much as I did. I also want you to know that at 56 years of age, and having had PTSD now for over 22 years, I feel that I am at the healthiest point in my life. The work that I have done, the things I have learned about myself, have me understanding fully where I fit into this world, and I am secure in my relationships with family and friends. Catherine and I are engaged on a mission with passion and perseverance with the family behind us. We know that we could not be doing this work today without having lived that experience over the past 22 years. I served in the Canadian military for a total of 33 years and enjoyed an amazing career. All that history means the world to me, and it was the lens by which I judged myself for a very long time. But I will tell you that all of that pales in comparison to what Catherine and I are doing today with the COPE program. We are paying it forward in the only way we know how, and we are happy to continue to serve. I wish to thank you for your very kind attention today. And if you would care to sample one of my books, Warrior Rising, I have brought a few copies with me. I will have them for sale at the back at the end of today. Appreciate your attention. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special program on Noon Forum. We've heard highlights from the 7th Annual At Ease USA Luncheon, presented by At Ease USA, an organization formed to address the impact of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, on war veterans and their families, who have so bravely served our country by providing access to confidential trauma treatment. Today's keynote address was presented by Chris Linford, recently retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces, following a distinguished 33-year career, and author of Warrior Rising, A Soldier's Journey to PTSD and Back. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, May 16, 2016, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Beth Kramer, Executive Director of At Ease USA, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.